After we are in Melachim Bet chapter 19 and we started 29 today. And Chizkiah goes to Yeshaya and tells him basically, please pray on our behalf. And then the answer from Yeshaya was as follows. He says, the following says Hashem to Sancheriv. He said, this is what Hashem has said. This is what Jerusalem says to you, Sancheriv. You are rejected and scorned. And then he says, who do you think you're mocking? Who do you think you're blaspheming? That you're raising your eyes up against the great holy of Israel, against God. You sent messengers and you blasphemed. And you think that, oh, because of your great chariots and your ability to chop down the cedars of Lebanon and your success over the far forests in the world, you think that because you drank up the waters of Egypt and you caused all of it to dry out, you think that you're unbeatable or you're completely immune to the judgment of God. He said, but you should know that it's known from far that I made all of this from before, that I created everything. And I'm the one who determined that all of these cities that you destroyed should be destroyed. And that all of the people there destroyed. And that they should be like grass that gets torn out or whatever. And everything that you've done, and I know everything that you've done and how you've tried to get me angry, or that how you were angry at me. And because you were angry at me and your complaint came against me to my ears, now he says, I'm going to put my hook in your mouth and I'm going to put my claw on your lips and I'm going to send you back to the place you came. So this is God's message to Sancheriv that Yeshaya tells Chizkiah, okay? Pasuk kaftet, beze lecha haot, achol ha-shana safiach, uvashana shanit sahish, uvashana shalishit, zira'u vekitzru v'nitu chramim v'kufiriam. Now, this is the pasuk we're starting at today. Yeshaya turns to Chizkiah and says, and by the way, this is a sign for you. This is a sign for you that all of this is going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen, and then you're going to have a sign that this is all from God. And what's that sign? That this year you're going to eat what grows on its own. Meaning because they're under siege and the Sancheriv and the Assyrians have consumed all of their food. So where are they going to eat food? So he said this year you're going to eat from safiach. Whatever things that grow on their own. Things that they naturally just every year they grow by themselves. That's called safiach. Vashana shanit sahish. And the next year, you're going to have the stumps. Now, what does it mean by stumps?
It's saying fruits from the tree stumps.
Yeah, what are fruits from trees? I think also something that grows by itself. But in the third year, you're going to plant and you're going to cut, and vineyards will be planted and you'll eat of their fruit. Meaning, in the long term, you guys are going to be okay because God will carry you through 2 years of this quote-unquote deprivation. He's going to carry you through 2 years of that with what grows on its own, essentially.
So
okay?
It was saying that they basically caused a famine and they prevented people from going outside the city gates to plow and plant.
Yeah.
And they would also scorch the earth and they would chop down the fruit trees.
Correct.
The Assyrians cause a famine.
They cause an artificial famine. Exactly. They cause deprivation.
Saying that, no, there's going to be these after crops that grow.
Yes, exactly. So in parallel to the miracle that Sancheriv is going to go back where he came, in parallel to that miracle, you're also going to see that this is all coming from God as a sign, because you're going to see that you're going to have enough aftergrowth to support you. And by the third year, you're going to plant and this and that, and you're going to be able to cut and have from your own vineyards. And
I wonder
so on.
If the United Nations would ask them to send trucks of food in also.
Ah. No, not for the Jews. Not for the Jews.
Of course not
for the Jews. Imagine we were the ones under siege. Impossible that they would care so much. Okay. I mean, it's not only Jews.
It's like the most important policy.
It's not only Jews. That's the crazy thing. It's not just the Jews. It's nobody. It's nobody except whoever is at war with the Jews, because you want to make sure that the Jews never win so that they get destroyed, because everybody's anti-Semitic. Meaning, like, isn't there still technically a civil war in Syria right now?
Yes, big time.
So
big time.
So war ravages countries and causes there to be lack of food. Like, it's not easy to find food in the middle of a war scene. I'm assuming there are people in need of food in Syria too, no?
Compared to compared to Gaza, you have to figure close to 10 million displaced, over 6 million of them in Europe.
Oh, they all went to Europe, the Syrians?
No, well, 6 million of them Europe took in over the last 10 or so years. It's not been 10 years yet, but close. The amount of Palestinians alone killed in Syria is more than Israel has ever killed. Since the creation of the state of Israel, by far,
you mean
four times the amount.
You mean Jordanian Arabs?
No, I mean Palestinian refugees. No, like refugees from from like the British Mandate of Palestine that were in Syria. More, they've killed more than Israel has ever that have been killed in any war with Israel since Israel's creation in 1948. It's around four times the amount. And the amount of famine and death is thousands of times the amount than any single war that Israel's ever fought. It's not even close. Millions, I'm talking about millions of over a million people dead, killed in Syria.
Million people dead.
It's not like...
Has anybody airdropped food created...
No airdrops, no food trucks, and the refugees are allowed to go to other countries. But if you live in West Bank, Judea, Samaria, if you live...
What do you mean? You can't let the Jews...
You're not allowed to go anywhere
I don't blame the Goyim. I don't blame the Goyim. Because fundamentally, if Am Yisrael is ascendant, if the Jewish people are ascendant and they start to thrive, the progressive way of life will come under attack. Because what the Jewish people stand for, fundamentally, if they're doing teshuvah and they're clinging to the Torah, I understand why people want to see Jews not succeed. Because what's in it for a progressive?
Nothing.
Okay, let's say Am Yisrael is in its greatest form and the Torah starts to catch on. And now people start to adopt the values of the Torah. In the political sphere, what does the Torah say? That the king has to be subservient to Hashem. Right? That the king has to be completely a servant to the people, and even more so, a complete servant of God. Meaning he can't be corrupt. So if I'm a corrupt politician, a globalist politician from the EU... Do I want that value of subservience to God be something that I have to worry about? No, I'm already corrupt. I'm already taking all this money from the system. It's great, good for me. I could make myself out to be, I could deify myself and, whatever psychological benefit that has for me. I make myself out to be all powerful. I control the entire world. I'm one of the elites. And then here comes these annoying Jews and tell me, no, there's no such thing as elites. They're just God. Everybody is equal before God. I don't want that. Why would I want the Jews to be ascendant if I'm a progressive, globalist, left-wing elite? It's like, you don't want... They have a way of life that is in complete contradiction to the Torah. And then we're surprised when the people of the Torah, they don't want to succeed. Of course they don't want us to succeed, but they want to maintain their way of life. That's really what all anti-Semitism is based on. Christian anti-Semitism is they want to preserve, they want Christianity to be proven true by having the Jews be replaced. And then Islam is pretty much the same thing. That it's not as much the Jews be replaced, it's prove that the Torah is false.
Yes.
They're much more focused on the fact that the Torah was a fabrication, that they're the chosen people.
613,000 people killed in Syria.
613,000 people have been killed in Syria.
7.2 million refugees, meaning they're not in Syria anymore.
7.2 million refugees. So if half the amount of refugees from Syria were allowed to in let's say Israel, then that's it. There's nobody left. Meaning the entire population of Arabs is 5 million.
Yeah. Between Judea, Samaria. And
okay. Anyways, so back to our story. So back to our story. So Yeshaya tells Chizkiah that you're going to have food this year. Okay, that's why we said that, because we said we were under siege.
Comes from Hashem, not from aid trucks.
Right. Pasuk Lamed. V'yasefa piletat bet Yehuda. That's because we have nobody else to look to. Right, so Borei Olam has to give us our food because nobody else is going to give us an Eitrog. V'yasafa piletat bet Yehuda hanishara shoresh limata v'asafiri limala. And the remnant of Yehuda that's left will have a root below and will bear fruits above. What does that mean? What does it mean if you say that your people, the remnant, will be able to have roots below and then bear fruit? It means the same way a tree has to take root and then can bear fruit, you're going to be at peace or in a good situation long enough that you can really set down roots and then bear fruit for the long term. Okay? Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Ki mirushalayim tetze she'erit. Right, this pasuk you could compare to chapter 2 of Yeshaya. It's a lot less exciting in this pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Ki mirushalayim tetze she'erit. From Yerushalayim will come the remnant. Ufleta mehar tzion. And the refugee will come, or not refugee, and ufleta, survival will come from Har Tzion, from the mountain of Tzion. Kinat Adonai Tzivaot HaSezot, the vengeance of Hashem will do this. So the Mefarshim say that the remnant will remain in Yehuda despite the Assyrian aggression. And why is this going to happen? Because of God's vengeance. Meaning it's not because the Jewish people are necessarily tzaddikim, because if you only remember one king ago, Ahaz was already a Rasha. Okay, so it's not because the Jewish people are tzaddikim. It is because Borei Olam is preserving his honor, kinate, his vengeance, his jealousy. God's jealousy is at work here. And basically what this pasuk tells us is that Chizkiyahu succeeded. Because his tefillah is, Borei Olam, think about your honor. And Borei Olam considers his honor, quote unquote, and that's why Yerushalayim is going to be saved. Pasuk Lamed Bet. And therefore, so says God to the king of Assyria, you will not approach the city and you will not shoot there any arrow. You will not approach with your shields. You won't even pour any, make any roads. They will typically pour make a road so that they could enter into the city or get by any fortification. You're not going to do any of that. In the way that you come, that is the way that you will go back. But to this city, Jerusalem, you will not come, so says Hashem. Pasuk Lamed Dalid, veganoti ela irazot lehoshiah, and I will protect the city to save it. Limani ulman David abdi, for me and for my, and David my servant. Pasuk Lamed He, vayi balayla hu, vayi yetze malach Adonai vayach b'machane Ashur 185 alef. And it was on that night, an angel of God goes out and strikes in the encampment of Assyria, 185,000 people. That's people that had returned from Egypt, because we never said they came back, but they returned from Egypt after dealing with that thing. Remember, Rav Shakeh said, don't worry, I'm going to come back for you. And that's when Chizkiyah turned to Yeshaya and said, please pray for us. So that all happened. They go, they kill Egypt and Ethiopia. They come back with all the spoils. They encamp a massive army against Am Yisrael. And that night, there was a plague from an angel, went into the camp and killed 185,000 soldiers. And they got up in the morning and everybody's dead. Now the Midrashim say, Kulam Rashe Giyasot, all these people were like chiefs in the military, the 185,000. Meaning it wasn't even all of them, it was just the highest level people.
Yeah, they're non-common soldiers according to Rashi.
Yeah. Okay. And therefore, at that point, Sancheriv leaves. He goes back to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. And as he's bowing to Nisroch, his God, Adramelech and Sharetzer, his sons, they strike him with a sword. And then they go into the land of Ararat. And instead of taking the rule, his other son, Esar Chadon, takes over the kingship instead of Sancheriv. So Sancheriv's end is after this incredible, miraculous defeat at the gates of Jerusalem. He goes back and he is assassinated. Now, why is he assassinated? The Midrashim say an interesting thing, that he essentially, I'll read it for you in Rashi. So he got scared. What happened? That his sons killed him, Shar Etzer and Adramelech. What happened? So Sancheriv decided to sacrifice them. Why? Because he saw that it's not fair that so many people got killed in battle because of me. Now they're going to kill me because their sons are all dead. So let me kill my sons to show that I'm in them with the suffering. So whenever they caught wind that he was trying to assassinate them or sacrifice them, they went and assassinated him first. A more detailed version of this story can be found in the Radak. Hold on. Hayom Shechazar. So for another thing interesting they say is in the next chapter we're going to see that Chizkiah gets sick. Chizkiah gets sick and he's going to pray to Yeshaya, to Hashem, through the means of Yeshaya to heal him. Okay? They say that this is happening, this defeat of the Assyrian Empire is happening on the third day of Chizkiah's sickness. Okay, that's one thing that you'll see in the Midrashim. Another thing you'll see is that it was Pesach. This all happened on Pesach. Maybe because it's a great salvation, so it fits in with the narrative of Pesach, that we were saved on Pesach, and so we were saved again on Pesach in this story with Sancheriv. One second. There's one midrash that I want to read.
There's so many interesting footnotes on this.
Yeah. Bagadah here in the midrash Tanhuma. Oh, and the Gemara and Sanhedrin. Sancheriv shaal et chachamav kasher ikah malach et machaneu. When the angel struck his camp, Sancheriv asked his wise men, "Ma zechut sheluma zo she'elohem nilcham lahem?" What is the zechut that these Jewish people have that their God is fighting for them? Amru lo Avraham abihem he'ela et beno ola. They said it's because their forefather Abraham sacrificed his son, or was ready to sacrifice his son. Amar afani aale et shene vanai lelohai. So therefore, I'm going to show that I'm just as good, and I'm going to bring my two sons to sacrifice. Kesheshame'u banav, hiku v'cherev be'o shaya mishtachave. So whenever his sons heard this, they said, no, we don't want to partake, we're going to kill him first. So either it was Sancheriv trying to show his other people that he also has dead sons, or he was trying to match the zechut of Avraham Avinu, and that's why he was going to kill his sons. One of those reasons, according to the Midrash, is why his sons killed him. Or you could say, in these families, like blood relation is not so important. The attempt to secure power is the highest value. So you'll see in these families a lot of infighting and killing of one of the other. So it's very, very common. And we should not be surprised if Sancheriv's sons would assassinate him. Okay, so that's it. Esar Chadon is now king. And in the next chapter, we'll discuss Chizkiah's famous illness that is described in more detail in the Gemara and Berachot. Baruch Adonai L'olam. Amen ve'amen.